Hello, everyone. This is Christopher Hanel. I am the co-director and co-writer of The Formula, as well as playing the part of Tom. What we're going to do here is we're going to try a little experiment. I hope you have your 320 by 240 first version of The Formula downloaded. What we're going to try here is, as when I give the cue, go ahead and press play along with this MP3 file, and if you have a good enough sound card, you'll be able to watch the movie and listen to me at the same time. So, let's go ahead and press play right now. Click. Okay. And we have our TFN Fan Films logo. And that should be a pretty good cue of when to start. And let's get this show on the road. Basically, I'm going to talk a lot more about the history of where this all started and where this came from, because we're going to have more director's commentary with the four of us, and I'm sure that that'll be, much better to talk about, like, several scenes and everything. Right here, Star Wars Bond of the Force is the, fan film that we are basically making fun of. We had to have an of the in the title, obviously. We have the standard setup, a ship crashing onto a planet with a forest. I catered. setup is something that we had seen in a lot of different things. A Jedi searching for someone else or trying to save someone else, something along those lines, and looking out for the bad guy that always ends up being on the exact same forest on the exact same planet surface somewhere. Abe... playing Greg slash Jocelyn slash the Jedi right here, and I wish the music was louder in the compression. I don't know what happened. But we have a cell phone ring, which I downloaded off the internet from a free sound website. Wow, cool. This plot right here, everything that you're seeing was pretty much intact from the first draft of the script. Everything was left pretty much intact for the setup of how we wanted to get where we wanted to. By the way, this shot right here is the only real time I'm behind the camera. Other than that, it's always Steve, but right here I wanted to be behind it because I hadn't got to do it at all, and I was really starting to feel a withdrawal. But anyways, yeah, I got to do that shot, and I was really happy. Woohoo! Steve was going to have to beat me off with a stick, or it was going to be that or let me have the camera. The unnecessary zooms, and these are great because we just... you know, wanted to have him like, okay, there's something going on, where's the Sith? We intended to have something like an Evil Dead kind of thing at first, and just didn't have time to pull it off. But I think that was really campy and worked really well. And then the camera angle, the whole zoom around, which you'll see again in a future scene. Justin! Woo! Justin Whitlock, ladies and gentlemen, the man can honk like no one else. But here's our setup. I loved the so-called Jedi dialect, the fancy talk. British grammar with an American accent is basically what Jedis like to do, and it's fun to listen to. This shot and that shot, those are also the only other two times you'll ever see me behind the camera. Well, you won't see me, but Steve timed that so well with the music. But we have our little scene right here, and kind of grimaces, and we go into what's known as saber fighting. And Abe outdid himself on the choreography here. And here we know that they mean business. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, you gotta do that. Ewan and Ray Park, ladies and gentlemen. Abe's eyeball is so cool. And this we storyboarded out. This was thought out long before how we wanted to shoot this, and that morning of filming was very smooth because of it. That's Steve's addition right there, and we go into the formula. The Force.net Theater, and what should also say PhantomEffects.com for a short time, because they are hosting this file right here. And this song is Real Big Fish. It's called Sellout. I've had so many people ask me about this song. I love this song. I absolutely dig it, and the lyrics are perfect. Even though it talks about rock music, but the thought, you know, I don't want to do fast food all my life, and that's, you know, that's what the main force behind Tom. Justin Whitlock, again, oh god, he's so cool in this movie. Justin, just a little bit of trivia for you. Justin is the only one out of all of us that has any theater experience outside of high school, but Justin really stole the scenes a couple times. You've made too many mistakes.
mistakes. You will correct this. Not because I'm hypnotizing you.
But because the script calls for it. Okay, I'm going to start MST3K-ing if I'm not careful here. Okay, we go into the rant, and Steve did this great camera work of keeping flow throughout the scene.
That's funny. This looks like a remote control.
Beat.
It is.
I got such a great laugh at the premiere. I could rant about the premiere for weeks about how great a reaction we got there and how unexpected it was, and I wish Abe had been there. Abe was at a theater show that night. He had the complete history of America abridged, three-man comedy, which I wanted to join within him. I wanted to join with him on the show, but could not try out. What I'm saying there is, Jenny, it's called sensors, not radar. One's used by Jedi, the other's used for weather forecasters. We've had a couple of people wonder what I was saying there. Another Steve line. Steve was instrumental. He did a really crucial rewrite for the script, which really extended it out to its hour-long version. The whole plot stayed basically the same, and I had already added a good amount from the 12-page version, or whatever, 7 to 12 pages that we had started with, and I'd been building off that. I'd added the Trekkies, which we'll see later. But Steve really put a lot of polishes on it, and then he did a main rewrite, and then after that we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then when we shot, we changed a whole lot more. I'm sure I'm going to release the original script sometime. Yeah, I got to take a leak. And they walk off, and no, we didn't frame that shot at all. And I look very exhausted right here, because I was. We had gotten up very early that morning to film, and that's Mountain Dew, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mountain Dew. It's not what you think it is.
You know what ticks me off? We've been working on this stupid shot for months, and not once.
Okay, a little continuity thing in there. I say we've been working on it for months, but if you really keep track, it's been a much shorter frame of time.
Preparation and filming has amounted to this mess.
Like my hair.
To sit at the top, to amount to the peak of this pile of problems.
William Shatner, come channeled out in my acting right there.
They're right. You know, what have I become acting like this?
Originally, I was going to shout that line. I remember that. Okay, this monologue right here has been debated by myself and a couple other people. This is supposed to be an homage to High Fidelity. High Fidelity has got to be one of my favorite movies of all time. Yes, even over Star Wars. I'm not going to debate about that. The original peak is about pop music, and this is about Star Wars. It's very close, and we changed words around to fit our own needs and everything, but it's supposed to be a kind of a tip of the hat. And someone was saying, no, it's a ripoff. We're stealing the monologue. It's not an homage because we're not parodying it all. We're so in line with it, and I think it's just a matter of... Oh. That's Chad... Bubba Fett, the guy that plays... Chad, played by Chad Canfield. That's his kid right there. Anyways, looking at this right here... That's the key line right there, and that's something that's really, we really hit on, and I really wanted to include that in it, and at the same time, I'm a huge John Cusack fan. You can tell I talk to the camera a lot, we break the fourth wall, we do a lot of things that seem to be recurring themes in Cusack movies, so it seemed very logical to introduce the character of Tom that way. Those are my goggles, by the way. Now, this all comes from... There's a website, actually, called Star Wars Pants, and they have a lot of these lines there, and I loved it. I absolutely love it. We love to quote them all the time, and I knew that it would be very natural for us to introduce the characters goofing off that way, because that's the way we are. We will love to say these and try to think of more that aren't on the website. The website doesn't look like it's been updated in a while. The guy that runs it does missionary work and is gone for very long amounts of time before updates, and I hope he gets an episode 2 list up pretty soon. Abe does a surprisingly good Admiral Ackbar. Some of this was fake laughing, and then some of it was we just toss lines out there without warning anybody, and I think the Luxor pants was kind of thrown in there. That was a pretty good laugh. I do a really bad fall right there. I have no idea why. Great exit. I love the way Becca exits that line. We originally were going to have me walk over to the side as the final line, but that one works as such a great exit that we stuck with it. U2 playing. Steve is a bigger U2 fan than I am, but I also like their work. This is my worst acting in the entire thing, I'd just like to say. Ah, yes, just in time, that's so perfect. We're so proud of him. Right here. That's bad acting, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Abe's head is off. Now, we need to just point this out. Abe's head is now off. Take a drink. And his hat's back on, okay? Now, you're going to see that happen a couple more times, and I'll be sure to point it out to you. And here come our Trekkies. Oh, God, I loved having these guys. Mike Mulhern, who you're going to see, is Stewart. And then James, the very loud one, is played by Jim Cropa. Mike Mulhern was a friend of mine that I'd met, a friend of a friend, online, and found out he's a very big Trek fan, and he wanted to be involved so bad. And I originally was going to have a joke that he was going to be the PA of the director and that he wouldn't do anything. Which is pretty ironic. Anyways, if you understand the Dave story. This little technical difficulty was given to me by a friend of mine. I was trying to think of a Trek fan. I called him up and I said, what's something that Trekkies would debate about? And he said, he gave me this little fact, and I thought it was perfect. Anyways, Mike was brought in to be the PA, and I wanted more characters to bounce things off of, and then Trekkies became the lightsaber artists as kind of a great little irony, but we needed a way to introduce them, and so I brought them in. Now, Mike's friend, Matt McConnell, was originally James, the one on the right here, and he was going to do a very geeky Trekkie. He was going to, we seek our rules of acquisition cards, and it worked really well, but Matt could not make a lot of the filming that we wanted to do, so we went through like two or three other guys. We never actually had them on set. We just had them penciled in, and they could never make the film dates. And then Jim came in for the Matrix alleyway scene, which was the first thing we filmed, and you'll see that later. And he was great. I can't believe I didn't call him earlier. And it turns out he's also a very big Trekkie. And here comes our plot point right here. Yeah, you just put them on the counter. Ah, yes, one of the things that saved the universe. I make it the equivalent of hold your fire, there's no life forms aboard. Something so trivial that changed everything. I tell them to get lost. Now, there's a trash can next to me. You can see it in the next shot. He's not throwing it at me, he's throwing it away. I love that face expression. Okay, hits me in the head. Do you see the trash can? There, slushy. I understand that it took a while to get Justin to wipe that off the counter. Now, if you can look really close at the compression spray, but the straw bounced right back up. It was total luck, and on video it looks great. Ah, yes. More invention of Steve. We thought it'd be... At first we had a rim that he jumped over the counter. We decided that was a bit dangerous, and then we needed something interesting, and, you know, we can have fun with it, and Duel of the Fates is great. Okay, now this... People have been asking for an explanation on this, because I'm a beginning filmmaker, and we didn't really do this that well. Okay, he's given me $200 by mistake in a rush. Okay? Now you'll notice right here, Abe's hat is back off.
Hey, man, they gave us $200.
Okay.
Want to split it?
Yeah, sure, 50-50.
Okay. Now, we were selling the comics as a set. If I only... Okay, I'll let myself explain it. I'm taking out the top copy, the only one damaged, and selling the rest at their own cover price instead of selling them all at set price. Therefore, I don't lose any money. Then his boss gets a different set, and therefore, we can keep all the money for ourselves. Long live math.
Weren't you wearing a hat?
What hat?
He got his hair cut for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And we have a continuity joke here. And that shot keeps going on to do another gag. And we'll include it on the website later on.
How much store credit do you have saved on?
About $300.
Making $500, which is actually about what you'd have to spend on those lightsabers. Now, remember that. We spent all my store credit on the lightsabers. Keep that in mind as we go on with the movie. And our next shot, which is visually stunning. Abe's trying to look bad with a saber, and he just can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm pretty good at looking like a fool holding a saber, but I'm sorry, man. The guy's just too graceful with a sword. I love the flash right here. Ooh, look at that light. Steve says that this is his personal ode to, who is it, Jonathan Demme? I'll let him explain when he gets to do his director's commentary. The Vision fight. This was shot at Theater Cedar Rapids, where Abe and I have both acted, and they just let us come in one morning and just film. No problem. It was great. Now, the reason that we're so sweaty here is because we didn't storyboard this fight at all. So we just shot it from a bunch of angles and fought the whole thing through. Big mistake. Don't do that. I had to, like, almost strip down at one point and just lay on the ground for an hour. I'm wearing black under heavy lights. That's the only time you'll ever see me ever beat Abe in a fight. I don't think he'll ever let it happen again.
Tom?
Huh? I love that transition.
I know what I want to do.
We're watching A Question of Faith right there, by the way. Carlos Godinez, I think I pronounced his name right there, I hope.
Burning bush, you know, like Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments? My man Tom has had an epiphany, a vision, a task to take us from our mundane lives and give us something more...
We use that line a lot to explain our own kind of thing for doing this film. Now, this scene right here is kind of, this is really where we get into the meta theater, you know, which we've talked about in the radio show. That's actually my room, by the way. People are like, whose room is that? That's my room. And my room's differently arranged, but I'm still in the same room to this day. We filmed this about a year ago.
In the beer commercial, when she stripped down to her skivvies, and she threw them in his wash? Yeah! The boy has seen...
I'm still waiting for Steve to show me that beer commercial. I want to know where it comes from.
Well, I suppose it makes three of us. What about you, Jenny?
Well, I guess my nights would be awfully quiet without you guys, so... I'm in.
Which is basically how we got her to act in the film in the first place, because she wanted to... Abe was like, no, we can do it together, because they're married. Abe and Beck are married, I'm sure you know that.
And acting and sword fighting, we know, like, zip, right?
Yeah, I know, but didn't stop Mark Hamill, did it?
I have an extreme amount of respect for Mark Hamill. Mark, please do not take that the wrong way. Star Wars fans love to rip on him, and it made sense, and... My God, I love the man, and if he ever called me up... And even if he yelled at me for making that line, I'd still be flattered that he thought of me. The little sticker on my monitor right back there says, the more you disapprove, the more fun it is for me. Thanks, Lucas. The chips. There we go. He's referring to Darkman. We were flipping through Darkman. Right here, Justin didn't know we were filming. We threw it in. It was so funny. And then he turns it off. It's actually a cut, but we're like, oh, he used his remote control to turn it off.
Something that will set our phantom apart from others. Something that hasn't been done yet.
I think I said that word for word like 20 times to myself when trying to think up how to do this. Now, I'm going to skip over this a little bit. I'm going to use this time right here. For our own, the original brainstorming on the whole movie was we were just going to do a lightsaber test like everyone else, you know, because, you know, it's what we wanted to do. I'd seen Daryl Finley's tutorials, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have to do this. And, Eric Botcher, he used to be my boss at Software Etc., and I got fired. If you read my I'm in a funk monologue, he had to fire me for being 40 minutes late to open the store in the middle of Christmas rush, and that's a absolute cardinal sin. Why I was late is for another story. But anyways, yeah, we were going to do a lightsaber test, and I wanted to do something different, and the idea came from I was doing a show at Theater Cedar Rapids called The Miracle Worker, and I was using my backstage time. Chad Canfield right there, beautiful job as Bubba Fat watching Springer. And I was writing scripts backstage to keep me from going crazy, and I kept reading for this girl that was really cute, and I wanted to ask her out, and of course, I'm a geek, I didn't have the guts. And I'd read her ideas and try to impress her, you know, and she found it really funny, because I'd almost act them out for her, you know, just to try to get her interest in the idea, and she kept laughing at me, not with me, at me, and eventually just said, you know, it's going to be funny enough just to watch you make it. Ding, light bulb, and there you go. And from there on, I started working on the first draft of, I think the working title at the time was Balance of the Farce. This was just Abe goofing off, and it worked great. We had a plan for filming something, but just to give you a hint of what we were going to do, we couldn't get the clearances for that big of a bonfire. I'll let you let that one bake your noodle for a bit. He almost really did step on Abe right there. We did two takes of this. This is the second take, and only the second take. We did not use anything from the first take. We didn't edit this together at all. There's a constant stream of audio. Even when we cut away to us, he's still doing the exact same thing. You should watch Justin when we're watching this. He just squirms and squirms and squirms. It's so funny. Anyone know where that hat is? I can't find that hat. I've been wearing a different hat. That shot of Abe goes on for like another 5 seconds, but it's too long. Gonna need her someday. And we go into our heavy metal right here. And this is how I'm convinced most people end up with lightsaber duels. They think of good ideas and don't want to do them and just like, oh, it's easier.
Wait just a second.
Oh, hey, I got a double-bladed lightsaber, or I'm not doing it.
Oh, yeah, and mine's green, or
hold
I'm not
on,
doing it.
Just gotta be red. Come on, just let me put a plot around this.
Why?
And there you have the problem with most fan films.
Done in a week. Yeah. But I'm doing
in
it
a week. What drug is Tom on? We took 3 months to get to the final draft of the script, and we barely stuck to it.
I don't think they've ever thought about putting their skills to this kind of use.
We didn't feel the need to say the Trekkies, because we pretty much knew everyone knew who we were talking about.
That's our only hope, Greg. Like, how are you going to get them to give us their services? I mean, as much as we hate them, they don't exactly like us.
We've already introduced all the characters. Who's left are they talking about?
I have a plan.
And Matrix music. God, if we ever take this to film festivals, I have to cut all this music out. I'm so sad about all that. I hope the Wachowski brothers are very kind when it comes to giving festival rights, although it's probably not their site. It's probably more Don Davis or Sony or whoever distributed the music.
Yes.
Emperor's New Groove reference right there.
Most likely.
Another movie we reference for obvious reasons. Llama! We almost had to dub over Jim's lines. Jim, after we filmed, left for North Carolina to join a Shakespearean acting troupe. Which I felt, you know, we have a Shakespearean actor in this movie. And this scene had a lot of wind problems and traffic noise. And you can tell sometimes that our voices are redone in the voice booth, that we got very, very lucky in the fact that Kropa's dialogue and Mike Mulhern's dialogue never needed to be dubbed over. Or else it was going to be Steve doing Kropa's voice, and as talented as Kropa is, I couldn't imagine not using Kropa. My mom never liked that haircut, and then she saw this movie, and then she approved of it all of a sudden.
Oh, men and your egos. Look, we're making a Star Wars fan film, and we don't know how to make the lightsabers glow. Tom says that you do. You help us, you come back to the store. No grudges. Deal?
Star Wars! You have the nerve to ask a Trekkie to work across religions on a project in celebration of the Force? Blasphemy!
Look the little grin on Jim's face. He's trying to keep a straight face. Now, I'm offering them 10% of my store credit. First of all, that would only be $30 if I still had it, which would be $60. And personally, knowing from what lightsaber rotoscopers go for, they deserve a lot more than that. But considering I already spent all of it on the lightsabers, I just offered them 10% of nothing. Keep in mind that. Got a little pose.
We'll be in touch, my spaces.
And Justin's
and
best line.
A phone, so those won't do any good.
And our slow motion shot. That actually got cheering. This shot right here got cheering at the premiere party. I think we just had an insanely easy audience. Me and Becca wearing all black and got Silent Bob over there on the left.
Not long after, we began to roll into pre-production.
And any good film, any good bad film, has a montage. And here's our montage right here, done to the Gorillaz. Another song which I'm really going to have a hard time letting go of if we decide to do a film festival version, which I'm pretty sure we are. I type at about 75 words a minute, someone was asking me. The inside of my printer You can see the line right there. Jocelyn says, "Don't breathe on me." That's the actual script we were printing out of. That's from an early draft. We were going to have a really makeup-laden Sith with really bad teeth, and we're going to make fun of his oral hygiene. Those are actual $100 bills. Just want to point that out to people. Chris Hodge, he works at Excalibur. I've known him for a super long time. That's a little tip of the hat to Park Sabers right there, those sunglasses. Those are actually Justin Sabers right there, and if I would have known that he was going to buy a bunch and Abe was going to buy one of his own, I wouldn't have spent a quarter of the budget on my own lightsabers. Abe muting me, which he needs to do every once in a while, I guarantee you. Tip, 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 bam! And there you have. This was on the very last day of filming. We were already almost done editing the film, and we went back and got that stuff. That's the third time we've used that shot right there. And you can see that Tom is running low on money. Bond of the Force, a lightsaber duel by Thomas Harrison. All those pages are blank, which is really appropriate. Abe right now is trying to hide his hair. He has the same hair as what you saw in the continuity joke. He's wearing a hat, and you can tell his hair is a lot shorter, but right here we're trying to hide it. So he's hiding under an Entertainment Weekly poster or magazine. And you can see Becca's hair is a lot longer right there. This is our little after-school special moment. Ouch. That's a big insult. She doesn't realize it in the script, but you know.
I mean, this is a great
you don't say that to somebody.
We're going to make the best damn lightsaber film ever.
Oh, there goes getting on Fox Family. We said damn. We've got a my shirt actually does have green stripes all over it. If you're watching the compressed version, I am. Let me open the door. We'll do lunch.
I don't miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
I'm told by a friend of mine that he showed this film to a lot of people, and they looked at this shot right here, and he said, "You know, I don't think Tom is the kind of person to have that kind of wallpaper." He still lives with his parents. Ooh, very clever. That's Farmer State Bank and Thomas Harrison. Now, I had to go to a lot of trouble to get that done. I had to give him a fake ID and make him really think I was... No, I'm just kidding. Then we opened up the envelope and stuck in a piece of paper. And this shot right here was actually shot a year before the shot before. And you can almost see a bit of hair dye still left in my hair from after the Matrix scene. You see my hair change a lot in this movie, and I was really bad about it. Now, what's going on in the scene, if you couldn't guess, for the the plot challenged, Tom finds out, he looks at his bank statement, which you'll notice is three pages, double-sided, and he's broke. We did one take of this, if I remember right. Tom is really whiny when he throws fits. Now I want to throw something else. I'll throw that. Yes. Oh, I'm mad. Oh, angst. Now you can't tell, but there's a cut right there. And we go into our dream sequence. This was at a theater that we spent months trying to work out if we're going to have permission to do this, and they kept telling me no, 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 and Abe and Justin had connections at a different theater, and they said yes, but we can never run out of time. And I had a friend at this theater, which shall remain nameless, because I don't know if he had permission to have us there. But, worked out really well. We came in right before they closed. There was other movies going. Spider-Man was right next door. I peeked in at one point. I'd already seen it, but, this again was very late in the filming process. We already had 75% of the film edited, and we were just going back and getting stuff that we really, really wanted. This was a shot that we knew was kind of expendable, but we absolutely were dying to have it. Having Tom sitting down in an empty theater in the middle of a nightmare sequence. And it connects well with the final monologue. Tom Harrison's sorry excuse of a fan film. This was shot in a parking lot outside Barnes & Noble and Hallmark, if you'll see that. Tight rolled jeans, Justin's idea right there. Now, I actually did the lightsaber rotoscoping on this because we were running low on time. The other two lightsaber rotoscopes weren't going to get to it, and it was okay if it looked crappy, because it's a nightmare. Steve was inspired to put Star Wars Disco in here, and it was a great choice. Now, if you can't tell, we can't see, our hoods are too big. We even got the Jawa point thing going on. Ah, and we have Justin wearing clown makeup.
No.
This right here got the best laugh at the premiere party. I was so proud. Abe and myself, we were trying to debating who had the idea for that. And I thought it was me. He thought it was him. I'm going back. I think it was him. That right there was an amazing accident, and it hit his car. Dave helped me with the lightsaber rotoscoping on this, and he did all of my shots, and he did a tremendous job. Not knowing any lightsaber rotoscoping before, I have very little experience. He had none. Right there, he's saying, "I really like ponies when they hop and skip and jump." We knew we were going to dub it. And the worst. That came from... Abe is always referring to when we were learning our fighting that I have a problem, and a lot of fighters have a problem with that. They tend to put the moves with steps, because that's the way you learn it, but you need to shed that, you know, and I have a hard time shedding it. Right here, Steve is like saying to hit each other on the arm and go, 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 because we're running out of battery power, and he grabs my blade, and I yell, "Hey," and run after him. A short film project that couldn't get you into film school even if you had the money. We kind of realized that we hadn't hammered home the point that Tom's broke. We kind of really hint at it strongly, but...
Well, that pretty much brings you up to speed.
Wow.
And we're back where we started, because the flashback is now over.
So?
Don't you love timelines?
What? So? What? So what? So what? So what are you going to do?
This is Justin doing his best Ben Affleck.
Well, yeah,
doing his best Ben Affleck.
Belly button lit, but I could think of something more productive.
What are you getting at?
Tom, you're in a funk. You're whining and moaning. I mean, it's okay to do once in a while.
I'd like to say again, Justin Whitlock, no major acting experience. I think he played Conrad Birdie in a high school version of Bye Bye Birdie. He likes to talk about that.
I mean, we're never going to finish it. If we do, it's going to look like crap. The camera stinks.
We had an XL1. We had Park Sabers. And we had Abe Paterka. We had really the opposite of what Tom's bringing about. And I'm really fortunate about that.
Maybe it's not the camera. Maybe it's not the actors. Maybe it's not the props, Tom. Maybe it's the chump cracking the whip.
If you were any other man, I'd kill you where you stand.
The way this fight... What the hell? The way this fight originally started was that Zarth said it, and I look right at the camera and go, "Did he just use a line from Star Trek?" But it was much more appropriate that Tom do it. God, I love the way Justin does that. And we go to the Matrix fight. This was really just going to happen in the forest, and we needed a way to kind of vary things up, and we had the lines at the end of this fight, which you're going to hear, were ones that we kept throwing in, and Abe kept throwing in, and we eventually decided, God, it would be a lot cooler to actually do the Matrix parody. Now, the music that was actually in the Matrix fight for this is not released on CD. So we had to find different music. Now, this is the music for the second half, but we wanted to use the stuff for the beginning. Abe is so proud of this, and I am very proud of this sequence right here. Because I had no fighting experience before going into this film. Michael did such a great job. You can see the sabers in the mirrors. I can't wait till we release a DVD version so people can see just how much work he put into this. We did 17 takes of that, and that's really all I have to say. I could not do that right. Justin makes a great Morpheus, I think. We run at him, and I'm now doing rapier, and he's doing a kind of a kendo style. And I'm sure when we do the commentary track with Abe will just speak a lot more volumes than I will about that. And the world's worst scissor kick right here. God, that's painful to watch. I kind of screwed up my back on that, too. Justin practiced that footwork for so long. I think he was a bit disappointed. Michael removes the blades and then adds them back in. God, that got oohs and ahs. I cannot say enough about how overwhelmed I was about the reaction at the premiere. I get kicked in the face, and I lie there in sweatpants that are too big and a sweatshirt that's too small.
How did I beat you?
Yeah, these are the lines we kept throwing in because it was so funny.
Too fast.
Do you think that being faster or stronger has anything to do with my muscles in this film?
The shots of me right here were reversed left to right to clean up the 180 rule. Thank you, Nick Long. And we got back to the forest, and wow. Well, slap me around and call me Susan. We're back in the forest.
Congratulations, Tom. You've just pulled your head out. Come on.
Wow, you guys are good.
Well, that's how Greg and I fight.
I'm sorry. Sorry for the way I...
Tom changes his mind pretty quickly, but hey, it's a 53-minute film. We gotta get around to our plot lickety-split.
They could use it.
True. Let's pack up and catch up with them.
Hey. Don't...
My hair's really long right there. Now, the discussion we're having right here is about Luke and Leia. It is not about anything else. Don't get the wrong idea.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, what would you do, man? She's your sister. If you don't know she's your sister, then there's not much of a problem. Of course, if you find out, it's all weird.
That wasn't in the script. Justin just started doing it, and I'm really saying, why are we having this conversation? I was trying to stop the take. Greedo's played by Jim Carroppa, the guy that played James. Greedo was not played by himself. I did the vocals for it only because, as I said before, Jim was gone.
Tell Phelan.
I'm saying tell Phelan, as in Steve, just because I needed a name.
You know I love you, but you can't be here. This exchange has already been done very, very well, and we can't even think of emulating it.
Misa will pull that.
Crapisode 1,
which is a really great story because I loved the Greedo scene. A lot of people criticize the film. I like that film, and I wanted to reference it so bad because of what it does and how different it is from other fan films. And no, he's not putting on. Someone was saying he puts on a seatbelt, but he doesn't. There's the line. Now, we were originally going to use a lot more of that dialogue, and then it got pulled off of TheForce.net. A joke that we were dependent on, people knowing the joke, they pulled the movie off. And it was because the Spanish dialogue was a bit dirty, and they couldn't use it. So, of course, we couldn't put it in our film either. Because we would get kicked off for the very same reason. I'm not going to repeat what dialogue it is. Jim does a great job of physical acting right here.
What's there not to get?
I'm making up syllables, doing the vocals.
It's done far better than we could ever hope to do. We can't improve on it, so you're out of here.
And this is the whole basis. Oh, we have a title. I'm yawning. It's about 1:45 in the morning where I am right now.
We can personalize a lightsaber duel, but in the end, Greedo, well, you always just end
up... Continuity error. She puts her hand on her hip twice, I think. If you frame by frame that, Greedo's eyes are lit up for one frame.
What?
Michael had a lot of fun with that.
Said he always ends up dead. Figured why cheat destiny. Throw him up back. Don't want to miss him.
Did anyone catch the humor here? We're dragging a dead body out to the back. And we're talking about getting food, as if it's nothing. I didn't get a laugh at the premiere. I was so disappointed. That night. Meanwhile, stately Wayne Manor. Pizza that was not old. People are like, how old is that pizza? That's like, you know, an hour old. Maybe. Just starting to get cold. God bless Paul Revere's pizza.
Yeah, we all are.
Another Mountain Dew shot. Obligatory. He's reading Ultimate Spider-Man, which is my favorite comic right now. If you read issue 13, read issue 13 of Ultimate Spider-Man. That is me, ladies and gentlemen. Me in a nutshell in one comic book. Abe. Ooh, Abe's such a great actor.
Check.
You gotta see him do stage work.
I made a fat move. Screaming about it can't solve anything. Let her have it. It's not wise to upset a Jenny.
We had this cut right here. We had two choices. We couldn't decide. And the only reason we stuck with that one is because Abe says, it's not wise to upset a Jenny, instead of it's not wise to upset Jenny. We thought it'd be funnier if he said, it's not wise to upset a Jenny.
Don't leave your car unlocked. Check, baby! Oh, dude, let me have it.
this picture that he pulls out right here of me, that really is me. That is me dressed up as Darth Maul, makeup and all, Halloween of 2000.
You dressed up as Darth Maul?
It's nothing, really.
Oh, come on, man. The makeup is horrible.
And I thought I did a pretty good job of the makeup. My head was really shaved. And I don't know if I'll ever shave my head again. I probably will when I start going bald. I'll do Moby. I'll just go complete Moby. I'll just completely shave it. I actually jump here. I was totally into it. God, he was so intense, and I mean, we're really about getting into the moment. I mean, we weren't really serious. I mean, if we have to be, we can be serious actors. When we do it on stage, we're around all that. We're having so much fun. We really didn't do it on this, but there were a couple of times where we really insisted get in the moment, and Abe, God, he's such a great guy to work with. I still have not got to do a stage play with him, and I hope someday we get cast in the same thing.
I'd been sitting in line for about a day or so when a big thunderstorm rolled in.
I was really worried about the speech.
We got four tornado with it.
This, from like the second draft until now, remained completely intact. And it's a Jaws parody. And, I was so worried about people not getting it. And, I don't know, I guess... I felt that I, myself watching it, I would probably get it, but I didn't know if a lot of people would. And the premiere party, they were howling. We had one person joke, yell out, "We're going to need a bigger boat." And I guess I was worrying about nothing. It's really funny because the high fidelity thing at the beginning where people were like, you know, no one's going to get it. I thought everyone was automatically going to get that and not get this one. Just shows how big of a John Cusack fan I am, I guess. The music really sells it. Dave McCumber liked this monologue more than any other. Duality guys liked it. Yay!
Think about a fan without hope. He's got lifeless eyes. Thinking about thoughts inside of that warm theater. Until the thoughts drive him mad. And then you hear the moaning, high-pitched, terrible screaming before they leave. Heart to pieces. You know, by the time opening day had come, 250
people. A lot of people were. I got one guy that complimented my acting, saying it looks like you're really thinking about what you're saying, and comes up much more natural. No. That's because I can't remember my line, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not Jeff Goldblum. I just can't remember my line sometimes. Right there, I'm probably looking at the script. Dave Atwater actually is a friend of mine that's going to Iowa State, which is in Ames, and I wanted to toss a shout-out to him right in there. It worked.
Next morning, UPS truck showed up.
I have no idea if UPS actually delivers the prints at all. I'd love someone to explain to me exactly how those get there.
I'll never wait in a line like that again.
And true to form, I did for episode 2, but that's a totally different story. On the day that was supposed to be May 19th, 1999, if you really think about it, but...
I got to see the movie.
And shameless Mountain Dew plug. I am a sucker for Mountain Dew, what can I say? The reason my head was shaved for when I was Darth Maul was because I lost a bet on whether I could give up caffeine, and I couldn't. I was working at Software Excel at the time. I was snapping at customers after 3 days of no caffeine, so... I lost and shaved my head. The monologue. This also. This was also intact from the second draft on. I'm very proud of it at this point. A lot of people identify with this right here. People that had been waiting for a Star Wars film for 20 years and to get totally into it. A line that I forgot, which is actually in the monologue, I just never got it out, was I gave it my heart and my soul, and in return I got Jar Jar Binks. I do know people that just gave up on Star Wars altogether after Episode 1. I liked Episode 1. I don't know. It wasn't as good as the original trilogy, but I liked it. But the character of Tom very much depends on the fact that Star Wars bit him in the ass once, and,
wasn't me. It was... It was me.
Remember your line, Chris. Damn it.
Nothing Lucas could have ever have done would have been worth it, and nothing ever would have been standing in that godforsaken line.
That's my opinion right now. I think people are a little bit too cynical about Star Wars. He could have made Citizen Kane and in a Star Wars universe, and people would have gone, eh.
I decided that the only thing that should ever meet my expectations was me.
And therefore, why he's going so insane. Because nothing's going his way, and he's taking it out on everyone else.
I can't even afford film school because of this. I can't afford film school. And it's my fault, okay?
I think we did like three takes of this.
I'm sorry.
I don't know whose car that is I'm about to sit on, but I probably just ruined the paint job right there. Someone was asking me also... Were we intending to wait for a night where it was raining? No. We were going to film it rain or no. And it just happened to rain. It was so perfect. We have a garbage bag over the camera and then someone holding an umbrella over it. If you look closely at one point, you can probably see the shadow of the umbrella.
Since you're going to be sticking around with us for a while, we're going to have to make a sequel.
Which I don't know. I doubt I will ever make a formula sequel. It's a nice thought, but... I've worked on enough fan film scripts. You go find another script I worked on. Rogue's Fortune with Ronald Christian, or the one Dorkman Scott's working on. You can call that my sequel. And we go into the second half of the fight, and much... Oh, these sabers are so beautiful. This compression just totally... The compression was rushed. I wanted a Saturday release day, and GoldenEye did a great job to get us out on that Saturday, and... I mean, we sacrificed a lot to get it there, but I said it, and I was going to do it. I was not going to... delay it forever. That's a great shot, him coming into frame. And Justin stands there for a split second, but, you know. Hey, it's our first film. What do you want? And the... he's the correct species. I'm sorry, Nick Callum, but he's the right species for that to work. I love that shot. Just Abe just totally enraged and... I'm sure if we wanted to get into theories about the Force, which every other fan film does, and I wasn't in the mood to do it, I'm sure that we would... He'd be taking a couple of Dark Force points there. Now, he's clotheslining him in the stomach. A couple of people that wasn't clear to, but I think that works. Doesn't even use his lightsaber to down him. I dare you to find another fan film where the finishing blow like that isn't a lightsaber.
You'd be surprised what
the incredible drying hair.
Now, where is my brother?
Filmed on a different day. Clicks. I love using clicks as a measure of distance.
Jaina, come in. Jaina, did you get that?
There. And he gets to finish him off, and it being defense, not an offense. So he gets to keep his unbadness intact. He's still using the remote control. Now, from this point on, until the ending, this was all rewritten the day before we filmed this. The ending was just not strong, and we left it for the longest time. And this was supposed to be like, we're going to have like 50, 60 people in Excalibur and have it be a big premiere party, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, and it was such a weak ending.
If you really think about it, that store credit I offered them, I used on
the... Aha! We didn't have either of the Trekkies to film, and we needed a reason for it. That's another reason why we rewrote.
We make another one.
Little Wayne's World moment. We completely rewrote this. I think it was much more personal to have all that work, and you expect, you know, everyone's like, the big payoff, you know, that's going to be the ending, is to show it all these people and have the vindication. And I think the vindication comes from what's going on right here. Man, I'm holding a real lightsaber, you know, and all that, and... That's where the vindication from the fan film comes from. It's to do for yourselves, I think, more than anything else, and secondary to do for everyone else.
This is so cool. Next time, I get to be the Jedi. Only if I can direct. No!
Yeah, we rewrote this the day before. The original ending was just, you know, just this really bad pun of, episode 2 starts in a year, you want to go down the line, and that's the ending, you know, ha ha ha, you know. Just wasn't personal enough, you know, we went through this big emotional torment with Tom, and then we just ended on such a cheap note. And this gave us a chance to kind of expand on it. Yeah, it slows down the ending a bit. I've gotten a couple notes about the pacing on that, but I think it's much stronger than what it would have been. And I think that's more important to me.
So, you need help closing up?
Nah. Justin would freak if he knew I had people over the site.
Inside joke there, that is Justin right there. So.
May the force be with you!
Go Breakfast Club. I love Breakfast Club. I'm sorry, I'm a sucker for John Hughes. Same a Kevin Smith fan, so therefore I'm required to be a John Hughes fan. Kevin Smith and John Hughes, two more people I would love to talk to someday.
If you would have asked me a month ago,
this final monologue was written without any revisions. And I would probably say pretty close to my own feelings on the fan filmmaking process. Except for the revenge part right here. We did like 5-6 takes of this. I had to do more takes than everyone else, because, God, I'm a bad actor. Let's face it. This has to do a lot with, we did an episode of... We ripped really hard on a fan film when we first started Digital Lumber Radio on Sith Apocalypse, and I felt really bad afterwards. It took me a while. But, I mean, I was honest about my fan film opinions, and we went too far with it because we were caffeinated, and, yep, there we go right there. But, yeah, we went too far, I think, and, I felt really bad because of this philosophy right here. It's only a movie, you're just having fun with it, and to be really that critical of it, you know, I mean, from a constructive point, that's fine, but we started making fun of it, and that's wrong, and I sent a letter to Michael Haspel, the director of Sith Apocalypse, basically saying, I'm very sorry, and never got a reply back. This is my attempt right here to say, again, please write back. Please understand where that came from. And our very long credits right there. Ooh. These were going to be scrolling. It was 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night, or a Monday morning, and Steve was throwing stuff. I was ready to go home. We just wanted out of here. Someday I will explain to everyone why all these people are getting thank yous, and they all deserve them very, very much. Peter Shawinski, I'll just make a note right now. Peter Shawinski was in The Miracle Worker with me and worked also as a technical assistant, and I was going to make a lightsaber test. Jim Ward! Boo! That's referencing a specific quote in the New York Times. Where was I? Oh, yes. Peter Shawinski. I hit his hand trying to do a lightsaber test. I never rotoscoped it. I felt really bad. But anyways, you just saw my email address, so that is the end of our movie right there, clocking at 52 minutes and 25 seconds. Wow. I have a lot to say about this film, a lot more. I think that I will get to that with the commentary track with the other four guys and let them get in what they say before we overlap a lot of stuff. But I really hope you enjoyed the film. I hope that you got a lot of laughs out of everything. We had a lot of fun making this, and the response has been unbelievable. And we've had a lot of fun so far, and I think the fun is just started. And we're going to try to take this on the film fest circuit, and hopefully, I mean, I think first and foremost for all of us, this was a chance to hone our skills, and whatever film we end up making next, I doubt it'll be a fan film, but I think that we will definitely get together again to make another project, but... The movie's over, so I don't know why I'm ranting. Director's commentaries usually don't get that convenient time. So I'm going to close up right here and in saying that thanks very much for watching. Thanks for listening to the commentary track. We'll be back with another one and other extras on the DVD. And this is Christopher Handel signing out. Thank you.